wants us to remember seminal events, important events. There are two in this week's Parsha. One is Amalek, of course. Again, keep in mind when they read Parshas Amalek to have Kavanah to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, even though it's not Parsha Zachar. Keep in mind the Mitzvah's essay of Zachar, Eisa She'asel Lecha Amalek Baderech. We have to remember Har Sinai. We have to remember that we angered Hashem in the desert. Many things we have to remember. Zachar Zim Shabbos Lekacho. Every time the Torah instructs us to remember something, the Torah tells us why we are remembering that event. We're remembering Har Sinai because this happened. Remembering that we infuriated Hashem in the Midbar because this happened. We remember Amalek because this is what they did to us. There's one Zechira that the Torah doesn't tell us what happened. Actually, this is not a Rashi. Why do I think it's a Rashi? But it's an important shot anyway. Why do I think it was a Rashi? Okay, no. No way it's a Rashi. So the Torah says, Zachar, Eisa she'asa Hashem Elokech la Miriam. Remember Miriam's Saras. Okay. Why should I remember that a person received Saras? Many people were sick in the Midbar. Miriam's dead. I can't feel sympathy for people who've already passed. What's iconic, what is historical about Miriam's Saras? Sarashi fills in the blanks. Oh, Miriam got Saras because she spoke negatively about Moshe, which we know in Parshas Baloscha, but we don't know here necessarily. We see it in Parshas Baloscha. So Rashi's filling in the blanks. Rashi says, "In basa lizar shelo tilaka b'tzaras, if you want to be careful not to receive tzaras, al tesaper lashon hara. Don't speak lashon hara. Remember what happened to Miriam." So wait a second. If this is the reason we're remembering Miriam, why doesn't the Torah say it? Why doesn't the Torah say, "Remember that Miriam got tzaras because she spoke lashon hara"? It's the only Zechira without an explanation. So what's the answer? If the Torah were to explain that Miriam had Saras because she spoke Lashon Hara, that would be Lashon Hara. So the Torah is quiet, and that's the way to teach us not to say Lashon Hara. It's an amazing shot. The Torah can't warn you against Lashon Hara by speaking Lashon Hara. The only way to warn you against Lashon Hara is by not saying anything and letting you fill in the blanks. It's a very interesting textual quirk. Because the Torah doesn't want to speak Lashon Hara while it's warning you not to speak Lashon Hara. Now the broader takeaway from this is, okay, so now we have two competing values. On the one hand, we want to be discreet about Miriam, not to speak Lashon Hara in the Torah, not to publicize or hate in the text of the Torah. On the other hand, it may lead to confusion and disclarity. Like, who knows, if we don't have Rashi, we may not immediately, not everyone will read Rashi, Chas V'Shalom. They won't come to Beit Harigin, I don't know. So they won't understand it. So now they have two competing values, discretion or clarity. What wins out? Discretion. Torah conceals it, even though it may not be that clear. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more concerned with being discreet about people's privacy and their dignity than he is about what to clear. This comes up very often as a teacher and as a person. Like, should you say things as a person to achieve clarity because you want to be clear and you want everyone to understand you? Or should you side with discretion, protecting people's rights, not saying something negative, not saying something. I'll just give you an example because I'm learning Suvas when I first had this as a teacher, but it happens all the time in life. I was teaching Suvas a long, long, long time ago to a mixed group in Columbia University, boys and girls. And they were mature boys and girls. And I got to the sugyas that were learned, and some of the sugyas describe sexual encounter, and I always want to be clear when I give the shiur because I want everyone to understand. But it describes the event in ways that I didn't feel appropriate saying in front of women, especially men and women together. These are young adults. They weren't like older people, young adults. And I really labored. I went through, should I say Pesach Pesuach this way? Should I say Pesach Pesuach that way? And I wanted the shiur to be clear. But on the other hand, is it really sensitive and appropriate in this setting to speak so clearly? So I tried to find a middle ground, but you have it all the time. You want everyone to understand you. You want your kids to understand you. You're going to say things to them to be clear to them what the rules are. Sometimes you have to be careful, pull back a little on your speech for discretion, for respect, that it shouldn't be abusive speech, shouldn't be oppressive speech. So the Torah is giving us a roadmap here that clarity is not the highest value, even if it's clarity about halacha. Sometimes you should pull back on clarity for the sake of protecting people against your speech that could be hurtful in whatever way it's hurtful. So that's an interesting Rashi. Let's go back to the beginning of the Parsha. Extremely interesting Rashi. Rashi lived through the Crusades in France, and he really wore the Crusades on his body. He speaks a lot about them, and sometimes you can find Rashi saying statements that are clearly polemical, in particular against Esav in Rome. So sometimes you have to read what Rishonim wrote understand the context in which they lived. So in that context, we have a surprising Rashi. Not a surprising Rashi, but surprising that not surprising that Rashi would say it, but it's important that you see this, not just in general, but Rashi saying it. Torah says, when someone gets skila, so he has to be hung. Okay? But you shouldn't let the body hang. Lo solin nivlaso ala eitz. Don't let it hang so long. Ki kavar tik brenna bayomo. Hang it before, bury it before nightfall. Why? Ki kilalas elokim taloi. Because this is the curse of Hashem that's hanging. So what does Rashi say? Famous Rashi. That human beings are fashioned like Hashem, not in our physical appearances, but when you see a human being, you see creativity, intelligence, consciousness, freedom. So you see the elements that Hashem uniquely possesses. So you associate a human being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it would be disgraceful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a human being to be hung. And Rashi gives the mashal of two twins who look like one another, and what happens to one bears on the other. But listen to the between the lines of Rashi. Rashi says, She'adam asoi b'demusti yokno. Every man has the image, not physical, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yisrael heim banav. But the Jewish people are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not just demusti yokno, they're banav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, of course, that second phrase is just Rashi's interpretation. Yisrael doesn't appear in this pasuk. Yisrael appears in the pasuk in Parshas Re, Barim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. Rashi is importing a pasuk from Re into Kitetze. Kitetze is talking global. Ki kilalas Elokim taloi, that any human being is shaped in the image of Hashem, Jew and non-Jew. Rashi is saying, yes, but Jews are banim. This, of course, sounds like, is reminiscent of Rabbi Akiva's famous but really important statement. What does Rabbi Akiva say in Perkei Avos? Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem Chiba Yisera Yisrael Shenikru Banim. You have to have both of those values in your mind. Every single human being has the dignity of being a creature of Hashem. And you have to protect and preserve that dignity and respect that dignity. And unfortunately today there are some people, because we were in Gullus and certain voices in Gullus, because for whatever reason, not getting to why, it's 2022, every single human being on this planet is Tzelem Elokim. You have to protect and respect them. And you're not more from if you're disrespectful or racist, chas v'shalom, to go, that's less from, that's not more from. On the other hand, you have to realize that you are chosen, and you are a child, and you are unique, and Hashem selected you. And because your DNA is different, our DNA is the same, Hashem selected you, and Hashem has expectations of you. And unfortunately, in the Jewish world, sometimes those two are very hard to reconcile. Some people are very, very into the universality of man, and it's very hard for them to think of Jews as chosen and unique. Some people think of Jews as chosen and unique, where Barim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, and their views of Goyim are very xenophobic, so they don't matter, and their rights don't matter. And Rashi is inserting those two here in Parshas Kitetze. The must yokno every person, and he reminds us Yisrael Haim Banim. That's not in the pasuk. Now again, you think Rashi, who suffered so much under the crusade, you think maybe he won't say something like that. Kasha, the answer is he's making sure that you're aware of that. That's an interesting Rashi. A third interesting Rashi. When the Torah is giving us a list of who can and can't enter, and who we should be kind to, and who we should be, we don't have to be kind to. So, lo tisa'iv mitzri. Don't detest. Don't show contempt to an Egyptian. Ki ger ha'isa be'artzo, because they hosted you. Wow. Talk about getting a low rating on Airbnb. 210 years of backbreaking slavery. Don't recommend it. To throw your baby into the Nile. Don't come here. It's like a movie. Haunted house. Don't come here. Maybe we should move into Lotus Saib Mitzri. Don't detest the Egyptian because they hosted you. Incredible. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Alpha Pisha Zarku Zacharem Lior, they threw your babies into the Nile River, but they provided an achsanya. Now I'm going to expand this Rashi a little bit. Essentially what Rashi's saying is that there are two generations of Egyptians, different generations. The earlier generations of Egyptians were kind to the Jews. They hosted them. They embraced them during a difficult period, during a famine. They gave them a city. They graduated Yosef. There was a lot of admiration for the Jewish people. So before the Shibud set in, the Jews, and again, there were different stages. We were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Not all of it was Shibud. And then the Shibud got intense and more horrific and more Holocaust towards the end. Which means that countries go through different iterations and different incarnations and different stages. And the original stage of the Egyptians was kind and favorable. And that's why we can't detest them, because they hosted us. Then it turned sour, but we have to look at the entire body of work for the Egyptians, rather than just what happened towards the end. In the beginning, those earlier generations of Egyptians were kind to us, and that has to be taken into account. Evidently, Ammon never had that recovery, because they didn't offer us bread, and Moab, they were part of the conspiracy against the Jews and Shittim, and there was never a recovery. Now today, we are witnessing, and I know that in England today, a lot of people are sad because Queen Elizabeth passed away. I know for Americans it doesn't sound that impactful, but in the English tradition it has a lot of meaning and iconic and symbolism, and one of the values of tradition and symbolism. Americans don't have too much tradition and symbolism. We just live in a country, in our city. What does tradition mean? Hot dogs on July 4th? Not a tradition, that's just a celebration. So for them, she represented deep tradition to them. But you're looking at Western Europe, many countries of whom had very, very poor records towards the Jews at different stages in history. England, not exactly kind to the Jews. The Jews were expelled. The Jews were persecuted. There were massacres at a city in York, a very famous massacre in Europe, which English Jewry mourns for in Tisha B'Av. And, of course, Germany. We don't have to talk about Germany. And yet so many of these countries, as I say, are doing tshuva. And Germany has become one of the stoutest friends of Israel in an environment in which Israeli needs aren't always prioritized, and certainly England has become a stout friend of the Jews and of the state of Israel and has hosted the Jews. And to a degree, that's why these countries are on the rise and are strong and robust, because they've done tshuva. And even though they committed terrible sins, and I think a lot of the original Holocaust generation have a harder time with Germany because it's so distasteful. Don't buy German goods. Don't go to Germany. I think two or three generations later, our flavor is a little different because we've lived through more of Israel than Holocaust, and we've seen how supportive Germany is, how supportive other countries have been of our state. So our perspective on them is a little less harsh and severe than, let's say, the perspective of our grandparents of, how could you go there? How could you even mention the name? How could you buy a Mercedes? You remember your grandparents. You can't buy any German goods. For us, it's a little bit different. And as Rashi is telling us, take the long view of countries. In my opinion, let's say countries that don't do tshuva, they fall off of the map. So France is in decline, and I don't think France's support for Israel is always as strong as it could be, or Spain. So there are countries throughout our history who have been very unkind to Jews, but there are other generations that have been kind, and Rashi's saying, take the overall view. So three really fascinating Rashi's in Parshas Ki Tetzeh. Number one, remember Miriam. What? I'm not saying. Got to find that on your own. Number two, men have divine image, period. Jews are children that are selected and beloved by Hashem, period. How do you take those two statements? Figure it out. Make it work. Okay? It's so important in life that you hit that balance. You're not, I keep saying this. Unfortunately, people sometimes think that the more disrespectful you are to Goyim, the more firm you are. That is totally not true. That is a complete anomaly. It's an abhorrent concept. You're not more firm by you're more firm by how deeply you feel your Judaism. How can I feel my Judaism deeply? I also feel my universality. We'll talk about that throughout the year. Number three, the Egyptians, on the one hand, later generations, they're horrible butchers and masochistic slave masters. Earlier generations are kind to us, and therefore, when we take a perspective, we look at it, we say, let the side this. Have a Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shiur today is 8:45. Give you an extra minute. It should be 8:44, but I'm in a kind mood.